Our client, it's so good to be with you on this Sunday morning, and I want to greet you with the word of God that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be. I was hoping I had some Bible readers in the house because God has been good to each and every one of us as we continue to celebrate his goodness. And I got to tell you, I'm excited. Most people who know me personally say, well, Pastor, I think you're always excited. I don't know. But I am excited to be with you on this Sunday morning because God is doing some amazing things among you. God is still blessing us, and he's allowed us to gather in this sacred space to celebrate him. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news, don't you? And I'm also excited because, Paul, I get to kick off this new series that we're calling Epic. Epic stories from the Word of God that for many of us may be a refresher. Others might be an introduction to the power of God. As together we search through the stories in the Old Testament, stories of giant killers, stories of Daniel, stories of Moses and God using him to part the Red Sea, we are going to be celebrating the power of God. Because sometimes we need to be reminded that God's power that worked then is still at work in our lives today. Do you believe that? I'm asking for more time. Maybe the microphone isn't working too well, so I'm just checking just for a moment. All that's gathered here who've been blessed by God, do you believe God's power still works? Indeed, and he's worthy to be praised. And so I'm excited that God has blessed us with this opportunity where I get to share with you one of my favorite biblical stories in the account of three young men, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. You'll find their story in Daniel chapter 3. For some of you who are mindful of Daniel chapter 3, you may know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I hope you'll make your way there in your copy of God's Word. And you'll meet me at the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of Daniel. Daniel, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. Hear the Word of God. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, And the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, outer garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's orders were urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. If you don't mind, go back with me at verse 17. And you hear the response of these 3 young believers in God. As speaking to the king, they said, "If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." I want to park right there. I think that's some good words for us to remember. That our God, who we serve, is able. You can just help me just for a moment. Just turn to somebody who may not know it and just tell them God is still able. You said that like you didn't believe it. So let's try again. Turn to someone else and just tell them God is still able. Yeah, talk back to me if you can, because we gather in this place because God is able. This challenging story, this epic move of God in the life of those who have placed their trust in him is a relevant reminder to each of us. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what you're encountering day to day, despite the uncertainties that may come, there is one thing you can rest assured of, and that is God is able. Get used to hearing that, because you're going to hear that throughout our message today, because that's really the message. If you're taking notes, just go ahead and write it down. You have it. That's it right there. God is able. Father, we come in your presence. We bow under your almighty hand of grace. We celebrate your goodness. And we thank you for allowing us to gather in this place. So many places we could be, and yet by your grace and your mercy, you've allowed us to come here today to hear from you. So Father, as I always ask, speak with my tongue, Father, that you would take control, that you would make our hearts and our minds receptive soil for the seed of your word. That it might take root, Father, and that our faith might grow stronger, that we might trust in you even more and be transformed by the work of your Spirit. That you be glorified, that you alone be praised, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It was just this last Thursday, some friends gathered. They gathered together to celebrate the joy of living and friendship. They gathered and they thought they would go on a boating experience just this past Thursday. And to their surprise, as they were boating on Longhorn Dam in the Longhorn Lake there near the Austin area, something that they had not planned happened to them. This wasn't their first boating expedition, but something unusual occurred on Thursday. On Thursday, as these 4 friends who gathered to celebrate and to enjoy the ambiance of God's nature as they were boating, somehow the boat that they were on began to drift toward the edge of the dam. The dam was open at this point, and so there in Austin, onlookers were able to see as this boat vacillated toward the edge of the dam. And they looked down 100 feet drop. And there they were with the boat just on the edge. And others were looking on. Because others were looking on, they were able to signal for Lake Patrol. Lake Patrol came out and began to, from helicopters, drop life jackets to these four who were in this vessel that was just on the edge about to go in. Another boat tethered to it to hold it steady. Couldn't pull it out, but held it so it wouldn't go overboard. These sailors, these young ladies were able to look up and they saw the rescue efforts that were going forth. They were able to see that people were working on their behalf to try to save them from the situation that they were in. And by God's grace, all four of them were saved. I raised that very real experience to ask this question. For they were able to see the rescuers coming. They were able to get some encouragement as there were that people were trying their best to help them. But what happens in your life, in my life? We don't see the help that's on the way. But what happens when your life has, circumstances of your life has brought you to the edge of your existence and you look around and you don't see any help coming? Now, Klein, I talk to real people. Have you ever been there? Can we be real in here just for a moment? Have you ever been there where you're calling on heaven and it seems as though heaven is silent? What do you do when you're at a situation where there's nothing else you can do? What do you do when you don't have any other options in front of you? Oh, let me give it to you this way. You trust God. That's what we see in the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego right here in Daniel chapter 3. Because if you know anything about their story, you would follow their story where you understand that they were in a challenging place. For in chapter 1 of Daniel, when we meet these three Hebrew boys, these Jewish boys, we find out that they're believers in God. We know they're believers in God because they sought God at every juncture of their lives. Hold on, let me put a pin in that meter just for a moment. Whenever you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, whenever you find yourself in a challenging situation, might I suggest to you, might I implore of you that you seek God. Come on, let me sit down for a moment because sometimes we seek social media before we seek the scriptures. Can I just be real up in here? But ever you find yourself in a situation where you don't know how you're going to get out of it, you seek God. That's really what we see here. So these believers, these young people had found themselves now being the victims of the tyranny of Babylon. And this pagan nation had invaded their space. And these young men were stripped from their homes and stripped from their culture and stripped from their families. And they were put into a situation where they had to work for a king. They had to work for the very person who was oppressing them. They had to work in a context where they didn't have a choice but to do what the king said. Anybody ever been there before? You had to work in a situation where you felt like you were the only one. I mean, how do we handle it when it appears that everything outside of us seems contrary to the God who lives in us? How do we handle it, saints of God? And yet what God does is he demonstrates his favor upon these three boys, even though they were in unfavorable circumstances. Can we be honest here, saints? Because the goodness of God is not predicated on the good circumstances of our lives. Mm-mm. Because if we're truthful, there are times as believers that we all encounter circumstances that are not favorable. If we're honest about it, there are times in your life where you've placed your trust in God and trouble still found your email address, trouble still found your address, trouble still found where you were. Am I talking to anybody up in here? And here these believers are, and yet God is with them. No, you don't see it just yet, do you? But here they are in unfavorable circumstances in chapter 1, and yet God continues to favor them. I love it because God elevates them even when they're in some unfavorable circumstances. And some of us right now, that's our testimony. Because if somebody looked at you right now, they wouldn't be able to tell all the stuff you've been through. If somebody were to check out your life right now, they wouldn't believe some of the pressures and the challenges you had to make it through. But somebody knows, but for the grace of God. Because of the grace of God, I am where I am. I am who I am because God has been good to me, even though circumstances have not always been good. And so here they are in chapter 1, but we fast forward now to chapter 3, because here in chapter 3, we see them confronted with yet another challenge. And they're before the king who have set out this decree that if anybody would hear the music that was played, they were supposed to acquiesce to the social challenge that was around them and bow to the sound of the music to worship an idol because the culture said they were to change. Saints, what do? When the culture around you is trying to challenge you to change from your godly conviction, what do? You trust God. That's really what we see here, don't we? Because these teenagers are standing in the presence of the king, and the king is telling them the consequences of their choice if they fail to do what the king is demanding of him. He's demanding of him them to compromise their godly conviction. He's commanding of them to sell out, to bow before the current culture, to give in to an ungodly society. He's telling them to be like the majority, and yet they stand in front of the king. And do you hear what they say? They said, king, I like King James on this here. We're not careful to answer you about this thing right here. You could have asked us about anything else, but we're not careful to answer you about this thing right here. Look what he said. He said, because the God we serve is able. And that's really what God is challenging us to remember and to realize as we navigate this life. But let me give you caution. Don't realize it when you find yourself in the challenge. Make that decision before you even get to the challenge. Can I talk to somebody up in here? You ought to have a core conviction of your confidence in God before challenges come to you so that you don't have to try to find confidence in God when you find yourself in the challenges that are coming to you. It's right there. My kids are here, and I have to be careful. You know, because every time I see them, I get flashbacks of fatherhood. When I was teaching them how to drive. Maybe you don't understand our context because we have a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 15-year-old. Pray for us. And I was teaching them, Paul, those boys of mine. You know, that's some real love. I let them get in my truck to teach them how to drive. And I'm teaching them how to drive, but I made a habit. I sat down and I wouldn't move. I wouldn't let them start until they made sure they put on their safety belts. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. They put on their safety belts not because they've been in an accident, but just in case we encounter one, we have something to hold us secured. I'm trying to help you understand something. Before you get in the challenge, before you get in the accident, before you get in the confrontation, have the safety of faith in God, that God will be for you, that you know God, you pray to God, you celebrate God, you trust in God, that every day you ought to start your day like I sat in that passenger seat praying to God. God, please help me. Sat in that passenger seat, that when you start your day, you start your day with confidence in God. You say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because God made it. He's in it with me. And this is the confidence that these disciples, these brothers have in the text. They're confident as they stand before God. Why? Because they know God is able. God is able to keep you when the worst happens to you. How do we know God is able? They must have heard in their upbringing as Jewish boys that God was able. They must have known because their very names communicated the faithfulness of God. I'm not talking about their Babylonian names that gave credit to pagan gods. No, I'm talking about the name their parents gave them that reminded them over and over and over again that God was real. Hananiah, every time his name was spoken, was reminded that God was a God who shows grace. Mishael was reminded that there was no one like God. Every time his name was spoken, Azariah was reminded that it was Yahweh who was their help every time their name was spoken. But hold on, it wasn't just because of their name. They knew something about God before they even got to where they were, because somewhere they heard in the writings of Moses that God is the kind of God that is able, ex nihilo, he's able to create something out of nothing. They knew something about God. They heard about God's ability to part the Red Sea. They heard about God's ability to open up blind eyes. Have you heard of God's ability? Because not only did they hear it in the text, some of us are reminded that God is able. Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, God is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Are you getting it just yet? Jude chapter 1, 24 says, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, who's able to present us blameless before the presence of his glory. But my favorite, Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or even think. Do you hear me in here? God is able. No matter what you're going through, you must remember he's able to deliver you. Even when it seems like the worst is happening to you. They cast them into the furnace. Oh, but I want you to see this. Because even though they cast them into the fiery furnace, God was able to deliver them from what they were going through. Oh, some of you know the story. Because last we left off, they failed, verse 23, they failed into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. And he declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth looks like the sons of gods. I hope you see it here. Look at God's hand of protection upon those who place their trust in him. Sometimes we run past scripture too quickly because the Bible says they fell into the fiery furnace, the very setting that killed the very people who tried to get them there in the first place. God used the fire that was sent to destroy them to release them. You missed it. Okay, let me try this thing again. They fell into the fiery furnace. That's the first miracle. The fact that they fell into the fiery furnace and yet they are standing in the fiery furnace, yet that's God's hand that teaches us that no matter what situation you're in, am I getting too excited in here? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. God has been too good to me. That God's hand is able to keep you. And somebody in here, you can say, you haven't been in that fiery furnace, but there's been some situations that were fiery in your life. And when you look at your life right now, you say, the only reason I'm able to testify is because God's hand kept me while I was going through what I was getting through. They fell into the fiery furnace. And look, the Bible says that before they got in, they were bound. Before they got in, their clothing, their tunic, their hats were on their head, you know, combustible material. And yet they're thrown in the fiery furnace, and God used the furnace fire to unbound their hands that were bound. And the Bible says, before they even were rescued out of the fire, I love it, God showed up in the fire. I don't know where you are, saints of God, but I just want to encourage you. No matter how difficult circumstances may get, we serve a God who is able to deliver us. Amen. We serve a God who is able to rescue us. Oh, but not only that, we serve a God who is able to empower us to do what we've never done before. I hope you see it there. They're in the furnace, but they're walking around. No, you're missing it. Because what the Hebrew really connotes is that not only are they just, they're not doing a casual stroll in the furnace. No, that's not what's happening here. They're not just nervously pacing in the furnace. No, the Bible says in Hebrew it connotes they are joyfully walking. You're missing it here. They're dancing in the fire. And when you are confident in God, you're able to have joy even in the midst of circumstances that are challenging. Because as my grandmother said it this way, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. That God is able to give you joy unspeakable when you place your trust in him. I'm done now. I'm done. My time is up here. I'm done. I don't know where you are in here. But what I do know is God is calling all of us to have some furnace-facing faith. That no matter what's in front of you, that you will see God as greater than any obstacle that you have to go through. I did not say any obstacle that you have to go to. I said any obstacle that you have to go through. Because when you are a child of God, your destination is never in the persecution that you suffer or the challenge that you go through. That we serve the kind of God who will take you. Come here, David. I brought my own witness. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because thou art. I got some Bible readers in here. Thou art with me. Can we say that? God is with me. Can you say that? God is with. No, I want you to have some furnace facing faith. Can you say it right now? God is with me. Through the divorce, God is with me. Through the challenge at work, God is with me. Through the problems in my family, God is with me. Why? Because he's able. And when we stand for God, when it seems like heaven is silent, before the story is over, you see that God will stand with you. In fact, let me invite you to stand all over the building right now. Because some of us in here, we faced our own fiery furnace. We've been in situations where our faith was tested. Or for some of us, we've been trying to figure out how will we even get out of the situations that we find ourselves in. I want to invite you today to trust in God. Yeah. See, not only do you see the testimony in the text, but all around you is a testimony of people who've placed their trust in God. People who are able to testify that I've been in some hard places, but God met me there and God got me out. And God wants to do that for you too. I want you to hear him speaking to you right now. Telling you to place whatever that is, whatever that struggle is, whatever that persecution is, whatever that challenge is, place whatever that is before him. Because when the pressure's mounting, God doesn't want us to break. He wants us to cast our cares to him. 1 Peter says, cast all your cares to him because he cares for you. Do you get that? Because we have a whole lot of cares we come in here with. We have a whole lot of cares that burden our lives. But God has one care. That's you. And he wants you to be able to dance through the circumstances. So when others see your life and they're trying to find out, Debbie, how you're making it, and they call you out, they're able to see the faithfulness of God on your life when you place your trust in him. Bow your heads all over the building if you can, and just speak with God. His spirit is telling you, reminding you that he's able. Trust him. May not work out the way you plan, but God's plan is much better than your plan. Trust him. Give whatever that is to him right now and trust that he'll be there with you. Father, we come to you. We place our trust in you. Because there are some situations that are too much for us to handle alone, and we need you. We believe that there's nothing impossible for you because you are the God who saves. You're the God who restores. You're the God who heals. And now, Father, we ask that you would do just that. There are some people here who have yet to say yes to you. They haven't placed their trust in you. They don't know this power, but they're yearning to experience it in their lives. Father, would you do a work now that would loose them from whatever bounds them, that they might experience your power. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.